It's 6:45. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Las Cruces police are revealing more information about an officer-involved shooting earlier this month that left a 29-year-old man dead. KRWG's Mallory Falk has more on the events leading up to James Bishop's death.
On the evening of August 3rd, James Bishop's father called 911. According to a family statement, Bishop, quote, suffered a mental health episode. They hoped police could get him under control and transport him to the hospital. At a press conference on Wednesday, Police Chief Patrick Gallagher described what happened next. He said two officers arrived at the Bishop home.
Mr. Bishop's father informed the officers that his son was inside the residence, armed with a baseball bat and was violent, and they were probably going to have to tase him.
When the first officer entered, Bishop approached her wielding the baseball bat. She fired her taser, but Gallagher says it was ineffective.
So it's our belief, preliminarily, that the taser was not effective because as Mr. Bishop brought the baseball bat down, he deflected the taser.
Gallagher says Bishop struck the officer with his bat, then raised it again. At that point, the second officer fired multiple rounds. Bishop was pronounced dead at the scene. Gallagher stressed that these findings are preliminary and the incident is still under investigation. He didn't reveal the officers' names but said both were placed on administrative leave and have since returned to duty. Gavin Clarkson, a spokesman for the Bishop family, said they don't have a statement at this time.
They want to convey, as they said in their initial statement, they are praying for the officers involved and they're asking the community to do the same.
Once the investigation is concluded, the district attorney will review the case. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Mallory Falk.
Makers of a regional spirit from northern Mexico are trying to sell more of their product to the U.S., but they're facing a shortage of the agave plant needed for its distillation. Here's Fronteras reporter Kendall Blust.
Sprinklers drizzle onto seemingly endless rows of agave seedlings at Rancho Las Canoas near the eastern edge of the Mexican state of Sonora. It's a hot, cloudless day, and out here, water is like gold, says Enrique Aguirre. He says irrigating with a small amount of water speeds up the time it takes agaves to mature. He's the first person to earn a new certification for making the Sonoran spirit Bacanora, and he wants his brand Don Hecho to make it to the U.S. market. But, he says, Bacanora makers have to rethink the way they harvest agave if they want to sell internationally.
Se fue deforestando, se fue acabando.
Farmers have traditionally depended entirely on agave collected from the wild to make Bacanora. And decades of over-harvesting has led to deforestation, Aguirre says. So, some producers are starting to cultivate their own plants. Manuel Chacon takes me to his ranch outside the small town of Bacanora. He says it's a struggle every year to find enough agave to make Bacanora, so he's starting to grow his own. We walk through a shaded area where seedlings are starting to sprout up. When they're big enough, they'll be transplanted to the fields. But Chacon is among only a small handful of producers who are starting to cultivate, and he's only in the early stages. He says producers have been piecing together their own agave growing projects, but what they need is support from the government. And some of that support is already in its way. The Sonoran Regulatory Council for Bacanora recently called on mining groups to start growing agaves.
The last year they gave us 200,000. That plant was given to the growers right here in the Sonora.
That's Jose Maria Rosas. He's president of the council. He says the mines are growing the agave as part of required compensation for environmental damage.
And now they are going to produce for us 300,000 plants of agave this year.
But that's not enough to make Bacanora truly sustainable.
Me llamo Vianey del Río Guerra.
Del Río is studying agave sustainability at the Technological Institute of Sonora.
Pues generar también una cultura.
She says this region needs to create a culture of agave cultivation. But her research goes beyond growing agave. She's also helping women find ways to reuse discarded agave fiber. And she's starting a co-op where subsistence farmers can create their own brand of Bacanora.
Que el campesino logre logre llegar a ese mercado. Logre
Small farmers are the traditional producers of Bacanora, she says, and they should have a chance to become part of the formal market, too. Back on his ranch, Aguirre says there's a place at the table for everyone when it comes to making Bacanora.
No, el mercado está así como el sol. Para todos sale el sol, ¿no? Y así es el mercado del Bacanora. Para todos hay. Hay mucho.
He compares the Bacanora market to the sun. There's plenty for everyone.
Lo que tienes que hacer es dedicarte a plantar,
But Bacanora producers have to start investing in a sustainable future now, he says. He started planting agave 6 years ago, and he's only just beginning to see the fruits of his labor.
Empezando a ver los frutos.
In Hermosillo, Mexico, I'm Kendall Blust.